Let's talk a little about the previous year Marin Theater Company, Jason Minidakis. Since the last time we talked, there have been four plays, Fuddy Mears, Tiny Alice, Seven Guitars, and Bellwether. The one that had me scratching my head, stunned and confused, is amazing, but I didn't get a word of it, was Tiny Alice.
Welcome back, Mr. Albee.
Yeah.
You know, it was a great experience getting to finally do that play. It's one that I've been working on for over a decade now, and I was finally able to stage the play. It was a very well-received production. We were excited that we were able to do it. We had a great cast. You know, that play is, you know, 40-some years old now, and it's still, in a lot of ways, Edward is still ahead of the curve with that play. I think it plays better now than it did in the 60s when it was first written. I think our ability to view psychological thrillers as entertainment, I think that was just starting in the 60s, and, you know, it's something that's become, you know, very common fare for both TV and movies now. We understand the vocabulary a little bit better. The idea of religious and sexual hysteria is not quite new, so it's something that we all have a little bit of vocabulary in to deal with. You know, there are parts of the play I think that people understand now better than they did in the 60s, where they were just shocked, and now there's a little bit more of being able to track the story through the play and figuring out exactly what's going on. But he still does things on stage, and he did things in, you know, 1964 when he wrote this play. He still did stuff then that no one would even dare try now. So, you know, Edward is unique, and, you know, thankfully we had a great production of A Delicate Balance at Aurora this year. So the Bay Area continues to produce his plays on a pretty regular basis, which is awesome because he's such a phenomenal playwright.
Act One, I was with a friend of mine who's an actor, and we got Act One completely of Tiny Alice, but Act Two, particularly that incredibly long crucifixion slash death scene at the end, how do you as a director and how do you deal with an actor when what's on the page is kind of so out there that finding a handle on it seems virtually impossible?
Well, you know what was interesting is Andrew Herteau played Brother Julian in the play, and the thing about that monologue is that there are pieces of it that connect, different pieces connect to different parts of the play. When we first worked on it, we had just worked our first time through the play, and Andrew could feel where certain sections were connecting back to earlier parts of the play, but it wasn't a very organic flow for him. He didn't have all of the experience of the story in order to move from section to section very clearly. The more we worked on the play, the further along we got, the easier it was each time we came back to that for him to figure out what the emotional and psychological connections were. So that by the time we actually moved into the theater, he was really ready to start putting that entire story together. And the movement from one section of that monologue to the other, he understood how he was moving from one moment to the next, how the questions that the character still had about the world that he was in, how they were starting to land, and why he was asking certain things of the presence that even he at that point still doesn't understand what exactly, you know, who he's talking to, whether he's talking to a creature inside the model or whether he's talking to God or whether he's talking to a representation of God. You know, there are still questions for the character in that monologue. So the search is still driving that character through that monologue. And, you know, on top of that, you've also got that he's been shot and, you know, physically he's running out of energy. And the actor, of course, after that, you know, at the end of a 3-hour performance is running out of energy as well. And he's got a grueling, demanding 10-minute monologue where he's got to drag himself around the stage by his hands. So, you know, by the end of the show, he was exhausted. It was actually a trick even getting him up, you know, from the position that he eventually dies in, to actually get him up on his feet for the curtain call. It was tough because he was just completely sapped and drained. But it was a great experience, and, you know, that's one of the things that we're really committed to here at Marin Theater Company is going back and revisiting some of those classic plays that we don't often get to see and bringing them into the current period and saying, you know, let's take a look at some of these great masterworks and take a look at them and see, you know, what made them important and what made them important in their time period and are they still relevant today? So you should probably expect us to continue to do that sort of thing.
There's also an extraordinary production of Seven Guitars by August Wilson. Do you plan on tackling some of the other plays? I know Joe Turner was at Berkeley Rep, mm-hmm. so that's 2 out of 10, right?
Yeah.
You planning to go back to August Wilson?
I think so. You know, one of the things that we're very interested in doing here is going back and looking at August Wilson's canon, the 10 plays that he did, and to really find young African-American theater artists that are interested in taking a new look at those plays. So many of us have seen those plays, but we've seen them all sort of in the prevailing style of how they were originally done. Very realistic sets. I've talked to quite a few younger artists who have said, you know, they're really interested in exploring them in a more poetic vein, in a more non-realistic vein, to kind of find the poetic parallels between the different plays. And that's kind of what I'm interested in exploring as we go back and revisit them. And I think every couple of years we'll probably be doing one of them. And, you know, we'll try to bring in some artists that grew up on August Wilson but maybe haven't had their own chance to put their own imprint on August Wilson yet. I think it was really successful with Seven Guitars. I think our director, Kent Gash, did an amazing job of finding a real poetic language of what the Hill District was like for these characters. The interesting thing, one of the things that August Wilson always said about the Hill District was you're always halfway between heaven and hell, because no matter where you are, there's somewhere to look up to and there's somewhere to look down to. And I felt like they did a great job of that in the set and in the design of the play. And it added something really different where it didn't feel like a TV set or a movie set. It felt a little bit more poetic, and the city of Pittsburgh had a little bit more influence on the production than I've seen in previous versions. So that's something that I think we're going to return to again and again and look for new ways to explore those plays, those really great plays.
Well, if we look at that and then we look at Menagerie, we see maybe this is just happenstance, but there seems to be more of a musical pull going on here that maybe doesn't exist quite in other productions.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's something that, you know, finding that musical language that heightens the story of the play is always something that helps to take the play to another level when you can find something that resonates like that.
Jason Minidakis, in terms of talking about Tennessee Williams, and you're going to be directing Othello coming up later this season, we're talking about poetry or almost lyrics, musical dialogue. How do you as a director deal with the actors in terms of trying to maintain the cadence and yet at the same time truthfulness?
That musicality that's built into the language and that poetry, when the actors are allowing that work to open up, that's really where the truth of it lives. When they fight it, you can hear it, and it actually, the truth of the moment doesn't really get more revealed. When you try to play a naturalistic moment, when you've got heightened language, it actually feels like you're playing against the text, and it feels jarring. So I think the brilliance of what actors do is when they use that heightened language to open up the moment. And these playwrights have designed the work so that the truth actually lives in that heightened language, not outside of it. So I rarely find when people try to find the naturalistic moment outside of the language, it jars. There's not a harmony there. You find that emotional truth inside the language itself and the construction that the playwrights have put into it.
Well, it seems, looking at the past year, that what we're seeing are stylized plays in Fuddy Mears and Bellwether, which was an original, less so in Seven Guitars, but completely overwhelming in, say, Tiny Alice or even Glass Menagerie. So on something that's more realistic, like Seven Guitars, mm-hmm. let's say, the approach then is different, I would guess, or maybe not.
You know, I think that, oddly enough, the plays that I am attracted to as an artistic director, they tend to be a little bit more heightened language, a little bit more stylized in the approach. So it's funny because I don't actually see us as doing a lot of realistic, naturalistic plays. I think you're right that, you know, to some degree, Bellwether goes into that world and maybe Fuddy Mears, but not really. They're still, you know, very non-realistic plays in a lot of ways. It's the playwright's imagination combined with the way they use language that kind of takes it somewhere different. And I think those are the plays that you're going to see us doing more than kind of your kitchen sink dramas.
Upcoming, we have three plays. Steady Rain, mm-hmm. which was on Broadway.
Yep.
Is it going to be a similar production?
that play really relies on the actor so much that I don't think you're ever going to see similar productions of that play, because when the entire story rides on two actors and the way they interact with an audience and tell a story, even if the set design, the costumes were exactly the same, you're going to have an entirely different show. I do know that the physical world of this play is going to be a little different than it was on Broadway or in Chicago in the original run. The actors are certainly not similar to the actors that they used in Chicago, and they're definitely not movie stars, so they're different than the actors that they used in New York as well, because, you know, that was Daniel Craig and Hugh Jackman, so we didn't get them. We didn't bring them in. You know, age-wise, these actors are unique for this play, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. The two actors that we've got are incredibly charismatic, and I'm going to be really interested to see how the audience relates to them telling this story.
Are they already working across the way in the rehearsal room?
They're not quite yet. We're going to get started right after the holidays, so when we all come back from break, they'll be here plugging away.
And after that, Othello, which again, like Menagerie, and as opposed to a play like Tiny Alice, which needs specific things in it,
right,
you're dealing with something that's wide open, virtually with no stage directions. Are you going to be setting it in a modern location, anything like that?
We are not setting it in a modern location. I've done a very specific edit to the actors that I've cast in this show. We are definitely taking a different sort of look at this world. The costuming is not contemporary. The setting is definitely not contemporary. It's a bit of a mixture of some older periods. I think primarily people will get a feel, costuming-wise, of the Renaissance, perhaps. Attitude-wise, it's definitely a different place. It's not a contemporary world, but it's definitely not an ancient world either. The attitudes towards women are a little bit more open in the play that we're doing. We have three women in this play, and two of them will actually be part of the military, and they'll actually be wearing weapons throughout the play. It's going to be interesting to see how we tell the story, you know, with this group of actors. It's a 9-actor ensemble, and the edit that I've done to the text, you know, almost every production of Shakespeare you see these days is some form of an edit, just to make the stage time a little bit more manageable. So I've done a little bit of adapting and compiling of this play. I'm really excited because the actors that we have are so incredibly strong. We've got Aldo Billingsley, Craig Marker, Dan Hyatt, a great group of actors. So I'm excited to get started on it. But I think people are definitely going to get an amazing story. They're going to see an amazing battle of wills between Craig and Aldo in these roles of Iago and Othello. And then, you know, we've got some really amazing women that are going to be playing Desdemona and Amelia as well. So it's going to be a great show.
And the final show of the season, are you regretting choosing God of Carnage, given that at that point, which is next May, the Polanski film will probably just be coming out on DVD?
You know, actually, I think they had to do so many script changes to the play to make it into a movie, and they've added stuff that's not in the play that's going to open it up a little bit, and to some degree, it's going to be an entirely different entertainment experience. And I really think that it's actually to our advantage that the movie's coming out, because I think it's going to spread the name a little bit, but at the same time, it's such a different story because of what they're having to do to make it into a film, that I think people are going to be really excited to see the play version right after they've seen the film, perhaps, or before they see it on DVD. You know, interestingly enough, A Steady Rain is also currently being made into a film. And again, the stage play has two actors telling you the whole story. The film version is actually being done by Daniel Craig's producers of the James Bond series. So I can promise you there's going to be more than two people in the film. And, you know, it's not going to be two actors telling you the story. It's going to be lots of chases and cars and things flipping and blowing up. You know, two of the plays that we're doing this year are being turned into films, and I think they're going to be such entirely different experiences for the audience that I think it's going to be really great for them to see both the stage play and also the film version.
Well, I saw God of Carnage with the original cast,
yeah,
which was pretty remarkable cast. Yeah. Marsha Gay Harden, James Gandolfini, Jeff Daniels, and Hope Davis. Uh-huh. Is that right?
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, I saw them in L.A.
When you're adapting or working on that, are you trying to put out of your mind, like, say, an actor would put out of his mind other productions. Are you trying to put out of your mind other productions, or because it's so new, are you looking at that one?
You know, the director of that, of God of Carnage for us, is our producing director, Ryan Rolette, and I know he saw the original Broadway production just before it opened. We had one of our first design meetings the other day, and, you know, he's got a very specific vision for what he sees this play being. We've got our, you know, a fantastic local Bay Area cast. Ryan has a very specific vision for the play. You know, it's certainly informed by what he saw on Broadway, but I definitely don't think it's conforming to what he saw. I think it's informed by it more than anything.
And for the following season, have you got anything absolutely in stone yet?
Not that I can talk about. It's going to be a great season. I know that. There are four projects that we're pretty certain of already that are going to be from very, very different time periods. We're going to be doing a lot of jumping through our human history and bouncing around to different places. And I think people are going to be really excited about the mix of plays.
Jason Menadakis, to find out more, what's the website?
Website is www.marintheater.org, and that's theater with an R-E.
You've been listening to an interview with Jason Menadakis, who is the artistic director of Marin Theater Company. The Glass Menagerie by Tennessee Williams is playing through December 18th. I'm Richard Walensky on Open Book.